Today's Issues continues on AFR.
Welcome back to Today's Issues, the last day in January, this January 31st edition of Today's Issues. In studio with me is Steve Jordahl. Steve, welcome to the studio.
Good morning.
And joining me to help me host the show is Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Walker. Great to be with you.
All right. Well, we have some breaking news. We'll cover some news from yesterday and early this morning. Steve will bring us. But Steve, there's some breaking news we're watching right now on the Fox News Channel.
Yeah, we don't know much. It's developing. What we do know, what we're being told, is that a train carrying Republican lawmakers to a retreat in West Virginia was involved in an accident. The train apparently hit a dump truck. From first reports, that looks like there are very few injuries. None of the lawmakers from first reports, and these things have a tendency to change as they go along. But from first reports, there are few injuries, and the driver of the dump truck was probably hurt. I'll just read. This is from CNN. A train carrying members of Congress, including House Speaker Paul Ryan, to their legislative retreat in West Virginia hit a truck Wednesday, multiple sources told CNN. An aide confirmed Ryan was on the train and is fine. Separately, a congressman on the train told CNN most of the staff and members of the train are okay. John Faso, Representative John Faso from New York, who was on the train that crashed, said he was able to see the truck that hit the train and he was told that injuries were expected from people in the truck, not the train. So that's what we know. These things, as they happen, tend to swing wildly. It's not unusual in a breaking news situation that you'll hear a number of people that were hurt or whatever, and that number is revised up or down as the time goes along. But right now, it looks like there are no injuries to the people in the truck, and no one's reporting fatalities. But it was leadership.
Ray, it seems, fortunately, I mean, I pray that the driver of the truck is not injured, at least critically, but these trains, Ray, are so big. I haven't ridden on a train in a long time, but they're so big that oftentimes the train suffers a little damage in incidents like this.
Well, the danger always on the train is there'll be a derailment.
Right.
And it does not, and Steve, correct me here if I'm wrong, it doesn't look like the train derailed, but boy, the pictures of what happened to the truck. It's over on its side in trash. You can see just trash scattered everywhere. In a collision between a truck and a train, the truck is always going to get the worst of that, and it looks like that's what happened here.
Well, I read somewhere that it was a dump truck, perhaps, which would account for the trash.
Right.
But
right.
That is a substantial vehicle, a dump truck.
Right, right. Those are huge.
Yeah. All right. Well, along the lines of news on Capitol Hill, we have another news story that you brought in, a clip, of Devin Nunes.
Yeah, well, no, this isn't Devin Nunes. This is MSNBC. So as you can imagine, Ray and Walker, as the day goes on, MSNBC and CNN and some of these more liberal networks are having a hard time finding what to talk about, because if they spend too much time on the speech, they're going to have to be forced to say that it was a pretty good speech. So MSNBC, for a time, has retreated to talking about releasing the memo that came from Devin Nunes. This is the memo that the Intelligence Committee, the House, voted to release, and apparently it details, because no one's seen it yet, it details allegations of the Democrats paying for this dossier, this infamous dossier, and then going to the FISA court to use it to weaponize it against the Trump campaign. Very serious charges.
Yeah, if they turn out to be true.
So this was the exchange between two of the MSNBC talking heads. I just found it remarkable.
Is it possible that the Republican chairman of the House Intel Committee has been compromised by the Russians? Is it possible that they actually have a Russian agent running the House Intel Committee on the Republican side?
I hope that's not the case.
What kind of question is that?
Devin Nunes is a Russian spy.
Oh, please. Has it come to that? Is that all they've got?
Well, they have to 24 hours in a row of news.
Right.
They have to say something, and they can't say something positive. So,
wow, Ray, everybody's compromised by the Russians if you're not a Democrat.
Well, look, you sometimes you talk about scraping the bottom of the barrel. We've now gone under the bottom. Whatever's under the bottom of the barrel, that's what we've come to. When you're suggesting that Devin Nunes, I mean, you can disagree with him, but to suggest he's a Russian agent, it's not infuriating. It's just plain preposterous.
Yeah, and it really, if you get to the core of it, it's really disrespectful to the congressman himself, who it appears has a very long record of integrity and serving our country in Congress, and to suggest that would be kind of treasonous if he is working for a foreign government. But that's
That wouldn't even be kind of treasonous.
That would be treasonous.
That would just be plain treason,
right,
if he's doing that. And it's irresponsible
exactly.
to make that kind of suggestion on national. That's the kind of stuff that happens out in the fever swamps, right?
Right.
If you're working for, quote, a mainstream cable network like MSNBC, supposedly mainstream, you're not supposed to be saying things like that.
Exactly.
No, it's a bad look, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I wanted to, if you don't mind, Walker, I thought we'd go back into some of what happened last night. And what struck me this morning after the speech was the reaction that we're getting from many of those on the left. And I'm going to place these all under the anger files. I don't think they're young, but they are angry. We're going to start with the American Civil Liberties Union. Now, the American Civil Liberties Union, they took note of a certain word, and they had a problem with this word that he used more than 80 times, President Trump did, in the speech. And the word that they have a problem with, Ray and Walker, is America.
What?
They have a problem. The ACLU has a problem with the word America. This is what Fez Shakir of the ACLU's national policy director said. Tonight, President Trump said the word America more than 80 times in a speech, yet after a divisive first year, we hear and feel how exclusionary that America is with policies that have harmed so many vulnerable American communities. Oh, they used it.
You know, I had a hard time believing that story. But I'm reading it along with you, and it did happen. But it's like a what do you call it when it's a joke?
Oh, like a practical joke or irony or
like a news site with it starts with an S.
Oh, like the Onion.
Yeah.
Like the Onion, like a parody.
Exactly,
right.
Like a parody. And but that's true. And
he's the president of the United States of America, and they're criticizing him because he used the word America, an American, over and over again in his speech.
Yep.
Wow. Wow.
As they say, you can't make this stuff up.
No.
You cannot make this stuff up.
So there's that. Then I find myself at time on the mailing list of Congressman Tim Ryan, who actually, Congressman Tim Ryan is a Democrat. And I'm going to look up in fact, Ray, if you could do me a favor, because I don't have it with me, tell me where he's from. But this is Ohio, sorry, Ohio 13th. And
Ray's homework was easy.
Yeah, Ray, you did well.
I didn't.
So generally, Tim Ryan from Ohio, he has come down on a moderate side of the Democrats, which means he has actually been one to reach over the aisle and hasn't been reactionary with his quotes. However, after the speech last night, he said this: the president was carried into the White House in large part due to the promises he made to American workers to fight for them every day so their wages could rise, their pensions secure, and the future brighter. He lied to them. Now, if I'm paying attention, which maybe Mr. Ryan isn't, the stock market is at an all-time high.
Right.
Companies, including left-leaning companies like Apple, are investing billions with a B of dollars into the American economy. Workers are getting raises. Their pensions have risen by multiple double-digit percentages. Someone said in the 30% in the last year. And so, but yet his, President Trump's promise to do all that has somehow been a lie, according to Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio. I don't know. Does that...
Yeah, Ray, do you think the person who is going to get a $1,000 bonus from their company, do you think they're going to view President Trump's promises as a lie?
You know, if somebody sends me a $1,000 bonus, I'm going to be extremely grateful. And the people are getting these bonuses as a result of Mr. Trump's tax plan and what was passed and signed. This is a great benefit to, you know, maybe, sure, the folks at the top, right, maybe $1,000 doesn't mean anything to them. But to the single mom, $1,000 makes all the difference. To a family that's working two or three jobs to pay the bills, $1,000 is huge. That's, you know, maybe in Washington that's not much money, but out in middle America, $1,000 makes a lot of difference. So for him to say the president lied about that, he didn't lie about it. He actually, this is one time where you can simply say, when he was running, President Trump said, elect me and the markets are going to take off and we're going to get the economy going. We can now see a year later, what he said is what he did. That's exactly what happened. He didn't tell a lie. He told the truth. And this is a promise that, you know, even the USA Today, I was looking at, they were doing all their fact checking about the State of the Union, but on most of the, in USA Today, we don't look to as the arbiter, right, of
correct
of most things. But even they had to admit, looking at it through their very critical lens, they had to admit on fact after fact, they judged that what the president said last night in his speech was true. So, you know, people can say what they want, Steve, but the economy speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that USA Today fact-checking website and link, I'm going to post that on our Facebook page so you can read what Ray's talking about there. And an update real quick before we move on to another, some more of the angry files. The Fox News is confirming that there is one fatality involved in the train crash with the truck in Virginia, or West Virginia, I believe. Mm-hmm. So one fatality. They're not saying who. I'm sure that'll come out in the coming hours, and we'll update you if that comes out before the show's over. But one fatality in that accident in West Virginia involving the train. But go ahead to the next angry file.
Well, I love following Twitter, and this is from Chuck Todd, who's an MSNBC host. And I'm not sure exactly how he means this, but let me read this. He said the White House would be better off letting him, meaning the president, ad-lib this State of the Union. This was tweeted in the middle of the speech. When he speaks off a prompter, he doesn't come across as himself. So I'm not, you know, MSNBC, no love lost for the president. And
right,
the himself that they often talk about is the angry tweeting off the rails Trump, as they would like to describe him. So I don't know. I think they probably prefer that at the State of the Union. A moment of clarity from Chuck Todd saying that they should let him ad-lib the State of the Union. He didn't like how it came across. Maybe a little too presidential. Right?
You know, in the last hour we were talking, Walker and Fred and I were talking back. There were some moments. I mean, Chuck Todd's got a point. The president likes to riff, right?
Yeah.
He's a terrific on his feet. You know, just up there doing his thing, has a few notes and so on. And you could see during the speech, there were a few times, right, maybe more than a few, where it looked like he was thinking to himself.
That's
you know,
true.
I might go off script here, which you know, but he had been trained. Clearly, they had pounded into Mr. President, just give the speech and it'll be terrific. And, of course, they were right. The Chuck Todd's of the world wish he would go off script because that's when he might say anything and then they have more to talk about. Really, they couldn't complain. Unless they just don't like the president, because he gave the speech and what he said was unbelievably well received.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and President Trump, as you mentioned, Ray, he has gone off script in past. But honestly, that's one of the reasons the electorate put President
right.
Trump into office is because he would often share kind of off the hook what he was really thinking on topics, and his sentiments usually aligned with the majority of American at least in the heartland. And so people liked him for that. He's not your average politician.
Well, Steve, what did you think about his delivery last night? I mean, clearly, it's hard to give a speech off a teleprompter. I mean, it's a difficult skill to master.
No, I think he was very together. His words were some of the things that he often, some of the mannerisms he has when he says something and he says they really do or for real or whatever, those little throwaway little bits that he does sometimes to collect his thoughts before he goes on were not there. And I noticed the whole thing, and this is every politician, this was President Obama, this is Donald Trump, this was Joe Kennedy last night, they speak in like four-word segments. When I'm editing a sound for this show or for a story I'm doing, I can't tell you how much silence I have to just take out just for time.
Right.
Because they'll say something about, the state of our union is good. And you just, it drives you crazy. But so it was a paced, measured speech. I thought it came off very well, and he did look presidential, in my opinion.
Well, and there was some comments about how during the applause lines, he would clap himself.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's totally fine with me. I got to say, I don't think I've ever seen that before, but you can tell it just being spontaneous. He's just giving a good report on the economy. Everybody's clapping. He's clapping himself. That's the president just letting his personality express itself. I thought he did a fine job. It was long, really long, right?
It's hard. One of the longest.
Yeah, one of the longest. But he had a lot to say. And really liked those, when he introduced the people, especially the fella who escaped from North Korea. That was one of the most amazing moments in any State of the Union speech I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I thought it was also, and it seemed that President Trump, when he did clap, it seemed that he was, that oftentimes it was things like people he was honoring.
Right. Right.
Yep. Because the whole chamber was clapping and kind of looking at the people he was honoring. And so that was good to see him. He really did a good job with his guest list, honoring people who have fought for our country. I noticed the firefighter from California who saved the children in the school, and many others. The most moving, I mean, it seemed like each one of them were moving. It's hard to compare.
Yeah.
But along with the North Korea defector, the family, the victims whose son or daughter died from the MS-13 gangs.
Yeah, they had, and if you want, we can play of that introduction. This is clip 8, Brent. This is This is clip 7, Brent, 7. This is a sad story about a couple of girls. You'll hear the story from the president in just a second. But what was moving and what you can't hear, obviously, on the radio is the tears and the emotion that this family had when President Trump told this story.
Here tonight are two fathers and two mothers, Evelyn Rodriguez, Freddie Cuevas, Elizabeth Alvarado, and Robert Mickens. Their two teenage daughters, Kayla Cuevas and Nisa Mickens, were close friends on Long Island. But in September 2016, on the eve of Nisa's 16th birthday, such a happy time it should have been, neither of them came home. These two precious girls were brutally murdered while walking together in their hometown. Six members of the savage MS-13 gang have been charged with Kayla and Nisa's murders. Evelyn, Elizabeth, Freddie, and Robert, tonight everyone in this chamber is praying for you. Everyone in America is grieving for you. Please stand. Thank you very much.
And that was as part of his setup to the immigration policy portion of his speech that he wanted to give. And it was a very moving, though. You could just see the anguish and the hurt in these parents that were there.
Yeah, and I'm sure, Ray, it's comforting. You can't make up, so to speak, for the loss of one's child over things like this. But I'm sure it's comforting for these families to at least know that someone cares, and especially to have the president.
Well, for the president of the United States,
yeah,
to recognize, to call out, to say, we remember what happened here. We will not forget. Mm-hmm. And then he said, again, very beautifully, we are thinking about you. We are praying for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That's not every president, I think, would have said it that way. So
yeah.
Deeply moving moment.
Yeah. Another, we can move on. I know there's an adoption story. This is the last clip we'll be able to play.
Let's do this one. And this kind of comes along with the angry files. It's the story of a couple that adopted a baby, and we'll let President Trump tell you the story.
As we have seen tonight, the most difficult challenges bring out the best in America. We see a vivid expression of this truth in the story of the Holetz family of New Mexico. Ryan Holetz is 27 years old, an officer with the Albuquerque Police Department. He's here tonight with his wife, Rebecca. Last year, Ryan was on duty when he saw a pregnant, homeless woman preparing to inject heroin. When Ryan told her she was going to harm her unborn child, she began to weep. She told him she didn't know where to turn, but badly wanted a safe home for her baby. In that moment, Ryan said he felt God speak to him. You will do it because you can. He heard those words. He took out a picture of his wife and their four kids. Then he went home to tell his wife, Rebecca. In an instant, she agreed to adopt. The Holetz named their new daughter Hope. Ryan and Rebecca, you embody the goodness of our nation. Thank you.
A moving story. Some of the media found a way to make that into a bad thing. Splinter News had the headline, "Everybody Loved Trump's Horrifying Story About a Nice White Couple Taking a Homeless Addict's Baby." And Slate said Trump didn't bother to say what happened to the biological mother in his cop adoption anecdote. It doesn't matter to the GOP, which treat women as mere tools of reproduction.
You know, that's just reaching for something to criticize. They adopted the baby. They named her Hope.
Mm.
How is that not one of the greatest stories of the day, of the week?
Yeah.
And why? What kind of mind do you have to want to find something to criticize about a truly? And again, Mr. Trump said he heard God speaking, right? It's just so interesting to hear the president say it that way,
yeah.
And which we as Christians understand. God bless the president, and God bless that couple for saying it. And I can't express my disdain for people who want to drag that down into partisan politics. That's ugly. That's mean-spirited.
Yeah, that was an amazing story of that adoption, and I brought my wife in. My wife had just put our son down to bed, and I brought my wife in, and I was able to rewind that part of the speech, and I said, come in here. You need to listen to this. And after we got done, she said, wow, that's what it's all about, talking about
that's
Americans,
right.
Christians, reaching out and helping people in need and adopting children in need. So an encouraging note to end the show on. Thank you, Ray, for co-hosting me the next 2 days. I mean, the last 2 days.
Thanks, Walker. It's been fun.
All right, and you'll be on tomorrow with my father, right?
That's right.
Okay, great. So we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, Ray. And thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, you've been listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. My father, Tim Wildman, will be back in studio tomorrow along with Dr. Ray Pritchard hosting the show. So stay tuned to American Family Radio and the Bible teaching and the Christian talk radio. And we will see you tomorrow on today's issues.